head into 2016 also this year. I want to take a moment first just to say how much I was blessed this week. It blessed my heart to see the choir pulled together and others to do such a cantata as they did Sunday night and Christmas Eve Thursday night. It was just fantastic. Thank you so much to all. There were so many of you I know involved with all different aspects, and Brother Den heading up the cantata. We really appreciate all that you and Archie have done, so thank you so much. And the way the gospel was given out to so many on both nights, that's what it's about, and it was such a blessing to be there. It touched my heart, and I know it touched many hearts that were here as well. So anyway, I'm just so encouraged and so energized and charged from seeing that come together that way. This coming Thursday is New Year's Eve, and all are invited to come. Between 7 and 9 o'clock, we have a New Year's Eve service. That way at 9 o'clock, you guys can make all your plans to overindulge in food and stay up late if you want, do all your party stuff. Godly parties, right? Okay. then at midnight, you can bring in the New Year. But come here 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have a time of testimonies. And I always look forward to our testimony time. We have a few already lined up, but it will also have an opportunity for people to share a couple of moments of what God has done in their life. So come along Thursday night for that couple of hours before you celebrate, and it will be a blessing to you too, I believe. We are approaching the end of our year, another year come and gone. 2015 is exiting, 2016 is just around the corner. I do remember a movie out many years ago, back in the 80s, and I'm sure you've heard of it. It was Back to the Future. And it was actually when the main character went into the future, it was 2015 he went into. 2015. And so you look back at this older movie and you see some of the predictions of what 2015 would look like. Well, cars were hovering around in 2015. Of course, the famous hoverboards. So some things didn't quite make it, did they? We're not that futuristic these days. Some things did. The small, thin TV up on the wall that they had, things like that. But 2016, there's one thing, though, that should fill the heart of all believers. And that is one of hope. That is hope. Hope should fill our hearts. We, of all people, have the most reason for hope in our lives. That should be a defining characteristic of us as believers. Hope. Let me share with you one definition of hope. Listen to this and think about it. Hope. To wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. Hope. To wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. Kind of like when you sit on Santa's lap. Wish for something with expectation. You blow out the candles, make a wish. How about this one? A belief in a positive outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life. A belief in a positive outcome. Basically, it sounds to me like for many, hope is just being optimistic. Optimistic. And there's nothing wrong with being optimistic. It's better than the alternative, isn't it? You can be an optimist or a pessimist. Any pessimists here? Any optimists? Oh, we got a bunch. And the rest of you think you're realists, right? I know. No phrase, though, is more devastating in English language than the phrase, there is no more hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. I've been to a lot of funerals in my life. And unfortunately, I've been to quite a few funerals in which the people really had no hope. And it was sad. They were there weeping and saying their goodbyes and just weeping because they didn't have more time, weeping because their loved one was gone. But there was no hope beyond that, beyond some good memories in the past. There was no hope for where they might be today. There's no hope of ever seeing their loved one ever again. There is no hope. But is hope just being optimistic? Is it just wishing for the best? Let's take a look at the famous passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Say this out loud with me, please. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's pretty good. That's a good definition. I like this definition. The NIV says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. In 1 Peter 3, Peter says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, with respect. Always be ready to give an answer to someone who asks you why you have hope. What's with the hope inside of you? We see a couple of things here. One is, we Christians ought to be hopeful people. If an unbeliever watches you for a while, and then they ask something about you, at least something of what they should be asking is, why do you have hope? Why is your heart filled with hope? Our hope should show. It should show in joy. It should show in the love in our life. It should show in boldness. It should show in endurance and obedience to the Lord and to the Word. Hope. But the other thing Peter implies is that there are reasons for Christian hope. They ask, be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. There are reasons for it. It's a reasonable hope. It may have looked irrational to many people. When Abraham felt a strong confidence, he had a confidence in the Lord that he would be the father of many nations, even though he was too old and his wife was also too old and barren as well. And that was irrational. But Abraham held on to a hope. And it was a reasonable hope because God had made a promise to him. And God can be trusted. We live in a world where people are losing hope. People have lost hope in government. Many people around the world have lost hope in having peace. Peace is hopeless. They've lost hope in their families. And many people might look good on the outside, but inside something's happening and they're losing hope, they're losing it. Why do we need hope? Why do we need hope? Most of us probably don't know why, but none of us get far without hope. It's right up there with needs. You need hope. Like you need air, you need water, you need food, you need hope in your life as well. What happens when you lose hope in your marriage? The marriage will fall apart. You try to help people. You got to help people, but they have to have hope in their marriage. And as soon as they lose hope in their marriage, hope is lost, things begin to unravel. What happens when you lose hope in your own health? You get sick and you die. You lose hope with your kids. You just give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your kids. Don't lose hope. You lose hope with a job, and we give up, and it dies as well. The list goes on. When you lose hope, hope is essential for the Christian, and the Christian life is to be a life filled with hope. Let me share with you a few things that will fail you if you hope in them. Christians, listen to this, because Christians are guilty of putting their hope in these things as well. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus and you're born again, but as time goes on, you begin to take on some of the characteristics of the world, and you begin to hope in these things as well. hope in material things, that will fail you. When you hope in material things, money, there is a saying, I like this, it says, money cannot buy happiness, but it can buy a cup of coffee, which is almost the same thing. That's one of my favorite slogans, but that's true. Great if you have some money and you can use it, you can use it for the Lord and all that kind of stuff, but what if it's gone? Where's your hope if money leaves? And it can leave, it does leave, it leaves people all the time. But what is your hope in? Is your hope in a job? Do people lose jobs from time to time? Of course. What's your hope in? Don't hope in material things. Don't hope even in happiness. If your hope is just one day to reach happiness, that is like chasing a cloud. That's like chasing the end of the rainbow. You get there, and next thing you know, it's over here. If your hope is in being happy, don't do it. I mean, I'm American. I come from the States, and you all know that, I think. But one of our, what is it called? It's not the Declaration. Is it the Declaration where it talks about the American right to the pursuit of happiness? Constitution, is it? There's two different things. One of those things, one of those important documents that I should know as an American. But it states that we all have that right to the pursuit of happiness. And so we have millions of Americans out there trying to find happiness. And for many, it's like chasing that cloud. You get there, where is it? It must be something else. There it is. Happiness must be found in this. Happiness must be found if I can own this, if I can get this job, if I can move to this place, move to that place. And happiness eludes them. What happens when life throws things at you? Tragedy, death, loss of loved ones, tragedy in your own personal health. Things get hard. If you put your hope in finding happiness, that will fail you. Don't put your hope in material things. Don't put your hope in happiness. Don't put your hope in people. Faithful, lifelong friends are a treasure. Enjoy the friends that God has brought into your life and don't take them for granted. We all need them, but people can let you down. People can let you down. What must hope be based on then? Two things. First of all, hope must be based on God Himself. Look at Romans 15, verse 13 with me. Follow along. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hope comes from God Himself. Don't look to anything else except to God. Look to Him. Secondly, hope is found in God's Word. Verse 4 of Romans 15. Verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning." It's talking about God's Word, the Word of God. "That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have," what's the word? Hope. Look to God and look specifically to the word that He has given to us. Learn them. The Scripture tells us these things were written for our learning, that through them we might have hope. Christians, our life is to be a life filled with hope, not in material things, not in other people, not in trying to find happiness, but in God, in His Word. So what is your hope based on? Someone's promise? They promise you something? I think I'm a pretty trustworthy person, but I've failed promises before too. Is your hope based on 2016 being the year without any difficulty and any trouble in that year for you? Maybe 2015 was hard. It was tough. But a new year's just around the corner. And if I just can go through this year without any troubles, it's going to be a great year. I'll have hope then. I can't promise you 2016 will be that year. But you can have hope. Not in a year without troubles, but you have hope in God. You can have hope. What's your hope based on this coming year? Your wife not arguing at all with you this year? Good luck with that one, right? I'm sorry, Jennifer in the room? She's not. Good. Our hope is in God, in God's grace. So when someone asks why you have so much hope, what is your answer? It should be that you have tasted God's grace to you. He has given you everything already, and nothing that happens in life, no matter what comes along in 2016, nothing can take away that hope that He has given to you. You are a child of God. As a Christian, we have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, the hope of the resurrection of the dead, the hope of the gospel. And that wraps it all up. We are people filled with hope. Nothing that comes can take away that hope. No matter how dark, nothing can take away the hope. Why do we hope? Are we Christians just gullible and people full of hope? We have our heads in the clouds and not really in reality? I would suggest to each of you that the opposite is the case. We understand, because we know the word, we understand that this world is evil. This world is not getting better and better, and people are becoming better and better people. We understand that there is sin and there is evil in the world. And that we, like Jesus says, we will have troubles, we will have tribulations and trials. But we also know the God who is over it all. So we understand this world. We're not just gullible. We don't just have our head in the clouds or in the sand, however you want to put it. We know this world has troubles. But we also know God, who is with us and will never leave us and has given us all things in Jesus Christ, and nothing can take that away. So we are filled with hope despite the circumstances around us, because God, who cannot lie, promised it. Titus 1, verse 2, look at this. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God made some promises, and God never lies. God always keeps His promises. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I read this during the offering, but it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Don't sorrow in that way. It is a sad thing to see ones that we love go on and pass from this life. Maybe you can bring to mind quickly loved ones that you've known that have passed away. But if they are in the Lord, we have this joyful expectation that it is not the end, and that we will indeed see them again face to face, because they are with the Lord too. And so we enjoy this hope. So when we go to mourn those who are have passed away, yes, it is a time to mourn. It is a time for sorrow, because we have lost them with us at this time. But the scripture says we don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because we know we will see them again. We know that that one that we know and love is with the Lord, and we will go to be with the Lord as well, and we will see them once again. Don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Who has this hope? Who has this hope? Two simple things. Those who are in Christ, and those whom Christ is in. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. Go ahead and read this with me aloud, please. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. So Paul here in this book is encouraging the Christians at Thessalonica. He's encouraging them that those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who put their faith in the gospel, that Jesus died for their sins, he paid the penalty for their sins, he showed that it was done, it was paid for by his resurrection, and we can have confidence in him because of the resurrection, that we also will receive a resurrection. But he says, if we believe that, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those who are in Jesus have this hope. Are you in him? Is your life placed in him? Are you immersed into Jesus? A lot of times in the New Testament, it uses the word baptize. The word baptize or baptism is typically, you know, brings to mind people, you know, dunking in water. And often it's referring to a water baptism, but sometimes it's not. Often it's referring to our immersion into Jesus Christ, into his life. We are taken out of the old, out of Adam, and we are immersed into the new, into Jesus Christ, into his family, his life. And so we have his life. We were resurrected with Jesus to new life. We are in him. Are you in Jesus? Are you in Jesus? If you're a born again, blood-bought child of God, you are in Jesus Christ. Are you in him this morning? I hope so. I hope so. Not only those who are in Jesus, but those whom Jesus is in. And this is an important distinction as well. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ that is living in me. I am in Christ, but Christ is living in me. And these are some of the beautiful, wonderful doctrinal truths or mysteries of the Word of God, of what God has done by his grace and goodness to the believer who's put their faith. Isn't that awesome? Christ is in you. And it's not me who's alive, it's him that lives in me. I died with Christ. I have a resurrected life. Those who are in Christ and those who Christ is in have this hope. How do we know we have this hope? How do we know? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you've trusted, you heard the gospel, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You received that seal, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you who believed have been sealed with the Spirit of God. He works in you and has changed and continues to change you by his grace. You have the Spirit of God working in you, and the Bible calls that the guarantee of what is to come. He's the deposit. Now, if I wanted to go buy a house, one of the first questions the bank asks is, how much deposit do you have? You're promising me something, that is that you'll pay it back, you will pay for this house, but I want a deposit as a guarantee to this. That's what they ask. God has given us his guarantee and also a deposit that we have eternal life, and he sent his Spirit into us, the Spirit working inside of you as a guarantee, as that deposit of the eternal life that is to come. Have you seen him work in your life? Have you experienced true transforming work in your life as a result of the salvation, the great salvation that God has given? What I used to think that was most important in my life no longer is the most important thing anymore. In fact, as you grow with the Lord, as you grow closer to him, sometimes the things that you once held so dear and so important become kind of trivial compared to what God is doing in your life and wants to do in your life and through you.
trivial.
And you look at others and what they're living for, and your heart hurts for them because you see how trivial the things are that they're living for as well. But the Spirit of God, that promise, that guarantee that's in you, that seal of God in you, has been doing a work. The things that you used to think were fun, well, sometimes, a lot of times, when a person comes to salvation, the good fun times that they used to think they were having doesn't seem so fun anymore. The things that you used to hold dear as enjoyable and fun, when you start to realize that some of those things maybe hurt the one who loves you and saved you, and it hurts them, it begins to change what you think is fun now. And it should. That's what a relationship is about, isn't it? What I used to love, what my heart loved and longed for, what used to be my ambitions in life, God changes. He works on these things. And it's good. And I hope that you in your life can think back on your salvation, and you can see the working of the Spirit of God in your life. You're not a completed work. You're a work in progress, and I'm not going to ask how many of you have been completely transformed by the Holy Spirit, and you have arrived spiritually, and nobody would raise their hand. You are transformed. You are new creations, but you are still an ongoing work of grace by God in your life. Praise God. He's given me the Spirit as a deposit. I cannot live for myself. You cannot live for yourself. God has given His Spirit to you as that guarantee, as that deposit of what is to come. So you have this hope, Christian. You have this hope. 2016. You're approaching it with hope, with expectation. What must we do, though, now? As those who have this hope, what must we do? The Scripture says a few things, and we'll close with this. First of all, 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. You're filled with this hope. He doesn't fill you with this hope just so that you go back into the muck of the world. He fills you with this hope so that you will follow him. You will submit yourself to him. Yield yourself to him. Yield yourself to the Spirit in your life. Seek to please him in your life. Purify yourself. We see a second thing. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. So with this hope in our life, we rejoice. We are joyful. We are joyful people. And that's one of those things that people may look at you, and even no matter what the circumstances are around you, people that know you can take a look at your life and realize even in the hardships, even in trials, they see you're a person with hope because there's a joy in your life. There's a joy in your life. And that is fascinating to some people, to see joy in a person in the midst of hardships and trials. And that is appealing, and that draws people. Be joyful in this hope. Purify yourselves, be joyful. And then finally, Galatians 5, verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait. We are patient. We trustfully, expectantly wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord for what he's going to do in our lives. We wait on the Lord for when he will take us to be with him. Whatever it is, we wait on the Lord expectantly, filled with hope. Heard it once said that hope is the belief that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. As Christians, we have that hope. We have that belief. I don't know all of your years, I know some of your years, and some of you can say, it's been a hard, long year. It's been difficult. I've been through more trials than I would have volunteered for. None of us volunteer for these things, do we? But God allows them. God allows them. Why? I can't always answer that one, nor can you. But we trust. We trust. And we hang on to that hope. The best is yet to come. I don't want to sound like a prosperity teacher and say, just have faith. 2016 is going to be much more awesome than 15. I don't know. But I do know the best is yet to come. I do know that. How do I know that? The Word tells us. And even if this coming year is going to be harder than 15, the best is yet to come. Even if every year gets worse and worse for you, the best is yet to come. Because we have eternal life, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever. The best is yet to come. Hang on to that hope. Do you have that hope? This is more than just a wish. In Christ, it's a guarantee. The best is still to come. Please stand with me. Please stand. Every head bowed, eye closed, if you would. Do you have that hope? Do you have the guarantee of the Spirit inside you? Have you seen the Spirit of God working in you and you can affirm, yes, thank you, Lord, for that guarantee, for that deposit of your promises? We have a hope. It's not an unreasonable hope. We have a hope because we put our faith in God who cannot lie. We must be ready to give an answer to anyone, a reason for the hope that is within us. A reason. It is reasonable. But Christians, we are not hopeless people. This morning, I want to give you the time and the opportunity to spend some time with the Lord. I invite you at this invitation to spend some time with Him. And say, Lord, I thank you for all that has happened in this past year, the good and the bad, because you have allowed all things, and you've allowed them into my life for your glory, your purpose, to mold me, to make me, to shape me, whatever your reasons are, God, I submit myself to you. You are God. You are perfect. You are right. You are just. You are holy. Thank you, Lord. And whatever may come in 2016, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen my faith, that I will never lose hope, but that I will always look to you and to your word as the source of my hope. I am not one without hope. I have the Lord. I have God. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here, though, that may not be sure they have that hope? Maybe they've been hopeless and their life has just been going downhill from one hopelessness to the next. And they don't see a light at the end of it. They don't see that things are going to get better, that the best is yet to come. There is no hope as far as they're concerned. Well, I want to tell you that in Christ there is hope. Turn to Him, look to Him. Come to Him, trust Him, repent of all your sins that have offended Him, that you've sinned against Him. And in your heart, say, Lord, from this day forward, I want to follow you as my Lord and as my Savior. You are God, and I am giving up trying to find my hope in things, in other people. I'm giving that up. My hope is in you, Lord. All of my hope is now in you. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Ken, I need that. I've not had that hope in my life, but this morning, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. Is there anyone here like that? Raise your hand where you are. Don't be shy about it. Pastor Kim, please pray for me. I need that hope in my life. Pray for me. Amen. Anybody else? Pray for me, Pastor Ken. Just pray that I also would have this hope in my life. I need this. I need the Lord in my life. We're going to pray, and then I invite you to come. Spend some time with the Lord. And please, if you need to counsel with someone, if you need to look into the Word together with someone, come and take me by the hand. And just say, Pastor, I need to talk with someone about this. Would you do that? Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the hope that it brings in a hopeless world. In Christ, we are not without hope. In Christ, we have the deposit, the guarantee of what is to come. And we believe that the best is still to come. So, Father, whatever comes in this coming year, may we, your people, look to you. May we look to you as our source of hope and trust you, live for you, thank you, praise you. And, Lord, if any are struggling with their own salvation, may today be their day that they come in faith, in true repentance, and yield themselves over to you. Thank you, Lord. Just a few moments. Would you come? The invitation's open to you. Whatever the need may be in your life, the invitation's open. God can meet your need. Come. A few more moments. Christians, be in prayer at this time. Even pray for those around you who the Lord may be speaking to. Bow your head with me if you would. Father, I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, the things that we have been through in this past year, may we put them behind us as we press forward to your calling, as we press forward looking to Jesus. May we run our race that you've laid out before us with endurance, with patience, leaning on you, looking to you to give us the strength to continue. Thank you for that blessed hope that we have that is not based upon the circumstances around us. It's not based upon what kind of a year we may have. But we look to you, God. We look to your word that you've given to us as the source of our hope. And whatever may come, may we be a people filled with hope. And may we be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us to any and all who ask it of us. May we be ready for that, Lord, for that reasonable hope. And Father, I pray for any who are hurting inside, conflicted, struggling with their own salvation, unsure of their relationship with you, their Father, through Jesus. I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in their heart. Continue to draw them. Bring them to faith, I pray. And may they come and talk to one of us in the church and express, Lord, what you're doing in their heart. And may they come to faith. May they call upon the Lord this morning even.
I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a seat if you would, please. Pastor Mike.
Thank you for the message this morning. Well, before we're dismissed, we'll take just a moment and just a few things to share with you. Just a reminder, remember Thursday night, New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock. Please try to be here. Bring some friends along with that as well. We're going to have some testimonies. You'll hear how the Lord has worked in some people's lives over this past year. We'll have a couple of messages, more devotional, short-type messages as well. And then we'll be finished up at about 9 o'clock. So Thursday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And then also, this is a good time just to remind you, if part of your New Year's resolution is to get yourself more healthy, we have some exercise classes here on Saturday mornings at 8:30. So if you're interested in that, come along Saturday morning at 8:30 from about 8:30 to 9:30. Bring some friends along, coworkers or neighbors, and that'll be a good way of not only getting yourself fit, but also introducing them to some of the ones here in the church as well. So, and if you're really serious and you want to come out on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday at 6 o'clock, then come along. Come and see me, and we'll let you know about the classes there. I think that's all the announcements for this morning, except that we'll take some time and introduce, or not introduce, but have birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone having a birthday this week from today, Sunday through Saturday? Anyone having a birthday? Who are you pointing at there, Faith? Oh, must be Carl. Come on up, Sitzy, and Sandy, and Carl, Yvonne. Wow, a lot of birthdays. Birthdays. Wedding anniversaries, Yvonne and Jeffrey. Birthday. Both of you have birthdays, and both of you have a wedding anniversary. Wow. JoJo and Vivian. Well, Jillian. I was just talking to Jillian back there, and we were like, we almost completely run out of chocolates. And I said, oh, don't worry. We never have that many come up. And, of course, some mornings we do. Actually, I think we have enough. It's going to be right up. Anyone else? Birthday, wedding anniversaries? Why don't you come to this side, Carl? Come over to this side. Come to the right. Come to the right. Let's all stand together. We'll sing happy birthday, and then we'll sing happy anniversary, JoJo and Vivian, and for Jeffrey and Yvonne. How many we got in there, Pastor Ken? Nine. Oh, we got nine. That's good. That's good. Let's all sing happy birthday first. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
What?
One.
Congratulations, both of you. All right. Well done. Be sure to greet each other and stay for a little time of fellowship before you head out. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to our time together on Thursday night. Christmas Eves are always a special time for me, and I believe it will be a great blessing to you as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and for that hope, that blessed hope that we have. Lord, we don't grieve as those without hope, for we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Spirit in us, that guarantee, that deposit. So may we leave here today with that hope, and may others see that hope in us, in the joy, in the faith, in our endurance, our obedience to you. May they see that hope inside of us and be drawn to it. I pray these things that you would dismiss us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.